Right, I'll reconvene. Just turn my door so we can hear you. Mr. Winchester, just before we hear from the submitters, I have two matters. The first is there is some questions for Mr. Glasner. Ms. Chalmers, could you pass that?
I actually had one as well.
Good morning. And the other point is that the matter I raised with Mr. Barr regarding objectives, the same needs to be raised with Mr. Pates.
And Mr. Pates is already
wise to that,
is he? And has been giving it adequate consideration since yesterday.
Good. Thank you.
We can update you in terms of timing of delivery of updated chapters after this.
Right. In that case, perhaps. Do you just want to wait till the gentleman?
Yes, thanks for your time.
We'll give you these questions, Mr. Glasner, at the after the adjournment.
That's fine. Thank you, Steve.
Now we have Tao Marama.
In this document we have, I'll just have to apologise when it was converted to PDF, the drop macrons out, not one of them. So I just apologise for that. It's not quite as it was drafted. I think we could probably take points 1 to 6 as read.
Mr. Spirit, we have actually read all your evidence, so if you just want to give us a quick overview or summary of it, that would be adequate.
Yeah, okay. So the association with the district, you've read all that, and
Yes.
To reiterate that. I want to particularly acknowledge the associations of the Tāranga. As we all know, they have interests in this area, they're affected by this, so it's very, very important that we acknowledge. Just make the comments about the treaty, partnership relations we have in this district, Section 185, and your strong unity and business too. So we have the traditional interests and current interests and going forward into the future. Particularly support the the council, the 3.2.7 council of action, in accordance with the principles of the treaty, the White Hand and the partnership of my government. Treaty shapes all legislation. Everything drops out of the treaty, and we see more and more legislation today. It was not only about the different governments of the Crown, it's also set the basis for the country to be colonised. It's a bit of a problem though, that once it was signed, they never really told anyone else about it. We shiploads of people coming, and we have a lot of lack of understanding today still about that. People wonder why now we're given these rights and given that. But we're not given anything. What was given was to settlers. What they give to that is to allow to come here and live, call themselves Kiwi. Democracy probably practiced better here than anywhere else in the world. I don't believe that. What was done in the treaty was, apart from giving governance to the Crown, was the rights and interests of Maori that were recognised. And that flows through into legislation today, and that's very, very important. But get rid of all home and they put it, being given this and given that. It was Maori that was doing the giving. Really supporting the chapter as written, because a few months ago we had a meeting here about the agreement over our Britain development list between us and the Otago ones, and it was agreed that we would go away and develop that along with Tony from the council here. And we got agreement on that, and that's what's in the document at the moment. So in accordance with that, that's why we're strong in support of that chapter as it stands. I don't need to read all that. No points on that. That you want a question on that? Clearly articulates the difference of relationship between the panel and the district council. All those points. Okay, I'll move on. It's really important that we keep developing our relationship. It's coming along fine and recognised in the Charter of Understanding, and that Charter was just reconfirmed yesterday and signed by the 7 councils up to date, and it outlines in that how the relationship works and takes into account our rights and interests in this area. And the chapter as it's written reflects that. Yes, well, the Crown has devolved the powers and functions to the Council to carry out on their behalf, although the Council itself is strictly the treaty partner. They have those functions that they have to give effect to those Crown responsibilities. So as those various bits of legislation are made in this part 2, 6, 7 and 8, 4x4 was in the van. The grounds also indicated that the Supreme Council's under orders specified by the Government Act 2002, and in that it also requires that they exercise certain functions and powers under that Act. Note the Council has taken a step to implement 2 points in the district planning frameworks and recognising the role of Nightcutting in Chapter 5. Using the rail in that is very, very important. Some words can't be directly translated, specifically in here, but if I take words like rangatira, and refer to rangatira, loosely translated as a chief, but it's a lot more than that. It's two words, ranga, short for raranga, which is to wee. Tera is a file of people. So when you refer to a council, they've got into the position through an elective process, so there could be some Maori involved. There's one tera, five people. It could be new migrants, that's another tera. But, you know, so look, that's truly one of our brain theorists. Like, Kala now, it's a good word. Literally, translated as a call or a welcome. But, there's two words, ka and rana. Ka is a tense, a time. Something's usually a forward tense, something's just about to happen. And rana, short by rana, it's talking about rana, reading the people, get called in and all the four together. So these sort of terms and that we have in Brazil are very special to us. So we're really keen on the terms used in the Penal Section to maintain. This chapter clip we've written by the Council on Penal Penal was efficient and effective from our point of view. That's what we're talking about. And it's within the parameters of the treaty. So it's based on our aspirations and give effect to our aspirations and give effect to the Charter of Understanding, which I spoke about as before. The next point about the ongoing protection of the rights and interests of Ngaitaua negotiated with the Crown and provided for treaty settlement legislation under Crown and Ngaitaua instruments. That's a fundamental point for the whole plan and for the functions of the Council. There's a note there, the findings from the Rights of the Waitangi Tribunal, the duty of the Crown, the active protection. Of course, that is involved down for local authorities, councils to give effect to. I think it's important to note that there's lots of other acts that refer to rights and interests, and so they should be taken into account. They're all, each act is primary legislation, and they must do, they're not made, they all must do, and really want to make note of 25. No chapter in this plan should ignore the road or impede those rights and interests of my code. My rights negotiated with the Crown and my code are not to be renegotiated locally or ignored by the resource management plans. So there's all those other acts that recognise rights and interests, you know, through fisheries conservation, heritage. as the hearings progress, the golden thread is maintained right throughout the planning of the local rights and interests and aspirations through the planning. The Chris O'Reilly's in through his submissions, but I seem to be on the mind and our rights. We have all the same rights as everyone else, but there are other rights that are different to other people that come through those different bits of legislation. Mapping, that's something we reached agreement once ago we met the council and then we're together on this, that we'd be looking at mapping and trying to develop some mapping in stage two. It's a massive job and it's something to be treated with caution. Plans locked into 10 years, if you miss something out, you've got to be very careful about being specific because you miss something out. And as things get discovered, some things might drop off. It's important to have things so that they remain current. And how we do that, maybe, and this could be the thing. Something we've got to work through in stage two. And then get the agreement for whether it works. Think about for whose benefit is it. We need certainty. That's important for us. All the way through those points, I think we're trying to achieve certainty. And it's important that certainty for others. Talk about values, they can go up or down. If someone wanted to build a room or something on a couple of the residents who are fairly special to us, might have historical significance and it could be an absolute no, as far as we're concerned. But it might be something else. Wouldn't be built over the way you're there, but provided our business of some sort, provided access to water, and might have a garden with cultural materials and that sort of thing, that then could go up. And it's a real use as far as we're concerned. So we'd be careful, being too specific sometimes about what we're doing. And it does make that point too about the naming strategic. Document is meant to be strategic document, but sometimes it's about strategy and one chapter talks about strategic and feel that probably should be referred to strategic and being consistent throughout the plan. And part of that might just be like typos that need to be reached.
Thank you.
Just looking at your paragraphs 23 and 24, where you're discussing that active protection and the rights and interests of Tangata Whenua, should we be considering a distinction between the traditional rights and interests and the commercial rights and interests of Ngaitahu?
We're not like in a time war. My opinion, we continue to evolve just like anyone.
So what I'm getting at is, should we be considering the act of protection of shot over jet, for instance? That's what I mean.
It's a business, I wouldn't think.
That's what I was meaning. It's not the commercial interests of Ngaitahu that you were referring to there, it's the I use the word traditional meaning in the sense that it is the traditions of the Tangata Whenua, which may evolve and carry on, but it is those traditions.
It doesn't lead to that, but you've got absolute protection of a business.
Right.
No, I wouldn't imply that.
No, that's good. I just want to be clear on that. So, thank you.
You can't say that the value might be stacked in one place. I'm thinking of a lot of our values are uses, you know, catching tuna eels. And I used to be a commercial eeler, and you can't say that spot is your place to catch eels forever. River shift. You know, catch in a certain spot 1 year, and well, next year I've gone down the river and it's not there, the river's over there somewhere. But I know particular spots when I see one, I can see, you know, my experience tells me exactly where to catch. And so our interests, as far as looking after, like our rivers of value and that,
that
exactly in one spot.
Yes, I understand that. Yes. Commissioner Cashworth, would you like to ask the questions?
Tēnā koutou. Tēnā tērā. I always find it a privilege to read young people's work. It's probably one of the rare times that I've actually been quiet and not forceful with my voice. Is that better?
That's better.
I'm just acknowledging your submission here and saying that it's always a pleasure to be able to read our people's work and how we can always learn as well from it. And just because we're in a position in a seat does not mean to say that we know what is needed. So I just want to acknowledge that and thank you for that. And yes, this is a taonga. I heard that. I acknowledge the work that has been done in the past with the developing that relationship with the council. However, I would just like to ask some questions for a surety for myself in terms of deliberation, in terms of some of the wording that might be used within some of the objectives that are there. Yes? One of them in particular, can I please take you to the reason that I'm asking is also too because of the certainty that you are seeking. And I too am looking for that certainty as well through in terms of stage two and the mapping. I have heard over the last, from yesterday, the emphasis that has been putting on, that's been put on this map and how it's going to solve quite a few of the issues in terms of our values, Ngāi values. So I'm looking for that certainty as well within there. So looking at, can we just go to 3.2.7, the goal, and just referring to the...
Chain gave her evidence.
Then we could refer back?
Yes.
Okay. In that case,
it might be easier for both of you, and then you can question, yes, you know, one of the both of us. It just seems that we've kind of done it to put Dubco together.
Yes.
To add some from one from Te Awanawa and from Whakamaruna to come next door to that. And then hopefully that answers some of the questions and then maybe adds more dimensions of what other questions you may want to ask.
Yeah, would that be helpful?
Yes. Just, we've worked as a team now, so we've just gone racing ahead. Lovely, so that's it.
And then when we put questions, whoever is better in a better position to answer can answer it. Yes.
Or we might confer and decide on the spot that maybe Michael or if they want to ruin another perspective, then maybe myself or. So I gather you've all read my
minutes,
that's great. I will point out some bits I'll paraphrase. Some bits I might just read, just to make sure that you've read it with the emphasis that I have put in there. With my 12-year patient experience, I thought I should point out number 7. This is genus has been prepared in accordance with collective Māori experiences believed in mana of Whurunga or Oraka Whurunga. This evidence was involved with a tamata, Emily Johnson, who apologised she can't be here today with the timing. She's been heavily involved with RMA issues at home in Manukau and also with a non-coding cultural mapping project. So it's with the greatest respect and integrity that I present this evidence to the hearing panel of commissioners. As it all was a weight from me coming from Orona to do this. I am not a policy or planner, so this is coming from the heart of home, from my home. I just happen to be a particular scientist as well. So I'm not going to be spelling out a lot of RMA language to you. So you need to understand that I will not be using those technical terms, but occasionally I might stumble on them from my past experience as being a scientist. Kind of sometimes pick up those acronyms. I also have some official evidence, which I would like to do after. It's more to back up what I've said. To sometimes pictures or visual images can mean something to people, trigger it. Oh, she said that. That's a picture or the evidence of that. So if that's all right, I would like to. There's not many slides. Also, bear in mind, this is my second hearing ever. So I'm a little bit nervous, so I will maybe stumble over words and maybe stutter a little bit. You're very daunting, all of you, so just bear in mind that
we're not really.
So just highlighting that fact for you. I'll highlight what my evidence is about. Part of it is about why I'm here, why is all up in the room presenting, talking about our uses, our associations, our rights and interests here. So that's the language I will use. And also some amendments sought in here as well. So that's sort of a synthesis of what I'm trying to paraphrase for you. So obviously you know that North Queenstown Lakes District is within the Tapua, Naito, Whanui. And you'll be aware of Whurunga and our structures there, my evidence. And that there are 4 Kapa Whurunga from Manukau, and I would represent one for Whurunga. And that we're based in the Riverton and Collett Bay area and within our Tapua and Stown Lakes District. For us, for the Runanga, we provide benefit and well-being of our members, the Whakapapa to us. And Te Ao Manawa, how the relationship there is that they work on behalf of our 4 Whakapapa Runanga on local government and resource management issues. And their priorities and activities appear in the context of our mandate and our support provided by the Runga at home. So, when we come to our associations for the Queensland Lakes, I'll probably start reading a bit more of that, so it's quite on my uses of it. So for us, from whānau at home, from Ōrākau Whurunga, this district relates to the Whakatipu Pōnumi fields. And that's where I was whānau from Ōrākau, Apurima and Collett, all of her parents travel along together this resource and close places to stay at it, gathering for parent hire. The trails from home to here were relatively easy, and the parent included whānau. So when we're talking that, we're talking about women, children, and so older people, so it's a whānau. So this is very much a whānau evidence-based thing. So it's, and then when we got here, the resources from here, things here would sustain us for that trip, and we were packed up by the men and travelled down an easy ride from after back using rafts that we made from local resource materials. One of the konami fields here is the poraka, and it's a konami with a variety of inga. It's very distinctive in colouring and markings, and these can be matched artifacts that you find in archaeological sites. So to provide evidence of that connection, the finished and partly finished and unworked konami from this source are found in high concentrations back at home, and one of them, including River Tenere, Pollock, Pahia, and all the pocket rivers around my area. Even with the very limited handful of surveys, archaeological surveys that happened in your district, this district is very strong evidence of one of the people that come here and have been frequented this area. And this instance of stone tools made from the Tihaka Bible, which actually was sourced in the quarry that collected all of it. And this has been found at the lake here of Lake Wakatutu and in the lower Dart River, and all being in Paradise area. These were the caches of tools, so some people would put things as they were going along to come back to. Made from stone was sourced from the Lahuku, and this has been found in the Queenstown Lakes area and the US sort of site of June that they did in 1974-75. We've got papers of that such if you need to learn about that. They've even found buff oyster shells in other sites in this area. And we did ask Wolfram Institute about how that would be possible, and yes, it would be possible to transport alive and still be able to eat them safely here. So the collection of pine was disrupted by private land use, putting fences up. And our last reported trip was around 1838, a whānau from Orakarewa, and again using sort of rafts that were made here, Mokahi, to come back down. So rafts numbering about 20, and we estimate that probably at least 40 people were involved in there, and there's also records of infants and women on there as well. But even with this disruption in collecting pine, the connection has always been there. It's not been lost. There's been many whānau from Rahuku and there will be from Otago as well, involved in the promotion of information around this whānau sources and collected pieces, some of which are displayed prominently in this district, so physically here now, including the Post Office Precinct, Park and Conservation Information Centre, the Markle School, Shadow the Jet, and Darkwood Safaris. My kamatua, Mira Johnson of Aprema, recalled to me that that continued connection always existed in her whānau. Her auntie Kura would come up every year, and as she came up, to bring that aroha, the love, as connection, remembering that connection of the people before her here. She also remembers as a child coming up here on the rough gravel roads, also to remain and be connected to this area. Muru is actually a Rongoa practitioner. She's a medicine. She does deal with medicine, traditional medicines, and she still directs people to this area for resources that are held here that we can access here, but we can't access at home. And certain things like the Tanamia is all regarded very highly here because of its quality and its size. So it's here. She recalls a saying in the Aporemi, you haven't seen Kokuku, you've seen one from the lakes, boasting about here, about the resources here. This is what follows diary as well. I'm involved in a monitoring program in here, looking at water, to bring this sort of science sort of who I am. And in here we've brought whānau to this area in upper Wakatutu sites very recently. And the trail was chosen for as a spatial area of looking at water. Of water to classify it. because of its important source, that connection of historical and contemporary associations of whānau and a desire to keep that connection of the ahika, the fire's burning here, and give it back, make sure the future generations still carry that strong. Mapping cultural associations is part of the mythology that we use in our project, and we see this as a useful tool for looking at associations, issues, and opportunities. Opportunities is also something we look at. Species layers can be added to reflect the dynamic and flexible needs of whānau environmental management. But information and such matters do require a considerable review by whānau participants of all information layers, including historical references, because remembering historians do have biases, particularly the older ones. Protection of cultural intellectual property rights, as well as interpretation by whānau when different management issues and conflicts arise, which are not static. And as such, it would be useful medicine being in the process as deemed appropriate by whānau. Obviously, my this evidence, if you have more of Rima, summarises all of the Rima associations. We also acknowledge that other Maori whānau who have travelled, lived, and used the resources within this district. So we talked about their rights and interests. Michael has talked about the claim, very important document for us, and the duty of the Crown, not merely passive, but extends to active protection of Maori people, to lands and waters to the fullest extent possible. For us in Wanakapurima, that means the active protection of our associations and connections, historic and contemporary, through our main tangible, such as the district bank. Wanakapurima sports goal 3.27 and chapter 5. These two elements of the proposed plan provide the recognition of the national importance for us, the Wanakapurima whānau, relationships, ancestral lands, water, sites, watercolour, other time, and the protection of its custody rights. Given an example of Norhonga, if there is something to provide for, which is provided for under the NITO Claims Limit Act and future generations, and how the district can is actually proactively recognising it. Providing for these rights in NITO whānau is crucial for our cultural identity and provides a strong foundation to pass on to our children and our future generations. So that's very much in our minds, not just now, it's also our future here that we're talking about. The district, both rural and urban, is highly modified, but in areas where are resources that we used to collect and the association and plants and may not actually be lost, or their quality or quantity is diminished. But so where they exist, and where they are still now remains, such as wetlands, this is a very high significance to us, it's a heightened significance for our associations, as well as the natural capital of the district. Wanakapurima sets amendments to the proposed district plan to implement Objective D of Tangata Whenua roles and interests, and Policy D of the National Policy Statement for Traditional Management. I'm going to re-read this, that local authorities, recognising this is the part of the National Policy Statement that puts clause in, the District Council shall take reasonable steps to A, involve iwi and hapū in the management of freshwater and freshwater ecosystems in the region, work with iwi and hapū to identify tangata whenua values and interests in freshwater and freshwater ecosystems in the region, and C, reflect tangata whenua values and interests in the management of and decision making regarding freshwater and freshwater ecosystems in the region. This policy D needs to be included within all the other chapters of the plan, district plan, that relates to water and has a great impact on fish water quality and quantity and the ecosystems that depend on such species. We also wish that Tonga Species Listing 5 is actually amended and updated to include important species such as fish water and land-based species. So I suppose in conclusion, sorry, I've read it instead of verifying the numbers. Wanakapurima whānau have a long-standing association with sites and resources of this district, and this requires the active protection of our associations and connections, historic and contemporary, with our main planning tools such as for us and our children after us. And I'll just flip through some of these. So this is just regarding the historic associations. Yep. We've also got contemporary ones. Who doesn't know it? My brother's here as well. There's a partner from the different area. We can find me. So this is in 2009. Also Hikoi that happened to re-establish, to come back, to remain, keep those connections alive and well. So 2013 Hikoi. And again, this is 2013. This is a site near the Dark River, near Stockdale Creek. And this is a site that we revisit near 2016 as part of our water monitoring, our research program. So another use coming on here, a contemporary one. But also recognising the historic associations and how that is also strange. Historic is actually contemporary for us as part of who we are. Going back. And here is our use of actually monitoring. It looks like we're having a great time. Yeah, but we are actually working really hard on monitoring the water, looking at the site, looking at the opportunities as well as the issues, using different monitoring tools, cultural monitoring tools as well as scientific ones. So we adapt, we add, we're not just about the past, that's very important for us. And we also have got young ones as well as all the chance, so we're bringing our future generations in. Here's a picture to reiterate the things that are still left. A wetland that we sort of almost fell in love with, but it's full of pest plants, but it's still there. So that adds a high significance to us. And also, you'll see, that's my son lying next to the tuna, the eel. However, I'm monitoring turned up the site. That has been used in the past, was used in the past, it's a site of collection of eels. It's in the family eels, if you found that eels. And very good quality eels, they were. And then, obviously, the past before the hydro dams. And so, then, you get opportunities of how these things can come back into our systems that we can connect with. Using the visual tool of my son, for the tuna.
You want to comment?
You want to comment? Yes.
The points that Jane was making, you know, about the NDS and that, and the importance of the plan as it stands, but like on water, and there is that requirement. The RMA itself provides for development of national policy statements, so primary legislation, so it gives that the weight of that the NPS is a must do. So we made that point, and it's part of those rights and interests. And in that is also the mana o te wā, and it's right up front as a national interest. And mana o te wā, although they say and community values, it encompasses community values. There, those mana o te wā contains all of that. Bit of a repetition putting the end community values on because it caters for, you know, financial people, you know, making their living and health, all those things, the community values that have been kind of provided. And let me comment about that photo there. And like developers that do have the potential to affect water quality. Now, as I said before, I was commercially dealing. And I never saw an eel like that down the way. I mean, as you go down the rivers, you get the cumulative effects. It might seem a little here, but then there's a little bit more. And you get down, particularly down the bottom of the river, those eels are just absolutely covered in slime, dripping off them. But here, coming up the Diamond Lake way, you're coming out of and they don't like that at all. There's no slime whatsoever on there anymore. So that's nutrients and stuff just getting in the waterways, and it's a really serious national problem. The government's, you know, given quite a direction to try and turn that around. You just don't see hills like that in that condition when you get down to the extremely peaks. It's important to look after what you've got.
So, just looking at what we've got, the significant values of what's left. And also the contemporary aspects you were seeing us and the artwork in a rainbow area. Okay? So it's just depicting our stories here in contemporary and different ways as well. And I suppose this is my other son. Always to remind us that it's about us, natural and artists, and that's a night of folk. It's about who we are. We always think about our past, but also the future and what we're handing over here. So with our associations, areas or things that we associate with of significance, we're talking about historic, contemporary, future, and our settlement. We need to remember those when we consider the plan as we go forward. And so I'll end another picture of my son. And Elsa's daughters, children are spoken for.
Thank you. Now then.
Question.
Not a statement. It's a question.
Kia ora. Thank you, Jane. Can I say that the tamira, rāpaki, to call tamatiers, just as nice as well. When I read that, I looked out my window to tell it to her. So, yes. But again, it's a reminder, though, of that protection and being able to view and see, yeah, and relate back to one's own. Yeah. So can I then, and I note within your submission, paragraph 30, I'm referring to 30, page 5, which will bring us into the question around the goal of 3.2.7. The first question I'd like to ask is, did Ngārūnanga participate in the writing of that goal?
Yeah, we, at Te Awarama, we're representing from each of the Ngārūnanga.
Yep.
And everything's got to go back to the Ngārūnanga and prove it before we go forward with those things.
Yep.
That's why we do it. We're only Ngārūnanga here at the top. We're only a tool of the Ngārūnanga. We're not a power of our own.
So you all participated at looking at that goal and those objectives.
Yeah, they get the opportunity if they don't like what we've got to do with it, but we do the right enough.
We have had a submission in terms of looking at 3.2.7.1 in terms of the removal of protect from that objective, and we have also heard from legal counsel as well, and the council submissions. In terms of softening that objective with the removal of the word protect and replacing it with recognise and provide for. Given that you have had input into writing that goal and objective, how is that terminology sitting with you in terms of provide, recognise and provide, given that under the RMA that we are looking at the protection of through recognition and provide?
Thank you.
point of making is almost impossible to absolutely protect this point of making.
I think, to be clear, Mr. Skerrick, it's we have been presented with two alternatives, and we are trying to understand Taumarama's preference, perhaps is the best way to put it, between the protect Ngātahi values or recognise and provide for Ngātahi values. That is really the nub of the question.
We have also heard too, in terms of the strategic or strategy title over the plan, being around the hierarchical structure of the proposed plan, that this goal would sit at the top. I'm referring now, Mr. Skerrick, in terms of the integration, that's your point within your submission, the importance of integration. While you support the Chapter 5, you also have indicated there that you would like to see some more integration throughout the plan, especially like in terms of water.
Yeah.
Landscape.
Linking to that other provision, what chapter was it?
33.
Yes, linking those, so because those values of ours were recognised in that chapter, so that linking, and then the golden tree through the plan.
Just for my fellow commissioners, I was referring to. 28 on page 6 when I was asking the question. So within the looking then from that strategic goal that has been set and objective in terms of to protect Ngātahi values, we then come down into Chapter 5 and start to look there in terms of the objectives and policies. Given that, again, I'll ask the question, Ngā Runanga was, and I acknowledge that you have said this, I'd still like to be able to hear that, that Te Ao Marama, Ngā Runanga has had input in Chapter 5, and you're quite happy with the wording that is within there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we have a lot of work on that. We particularly have the tails in here and the Kiritaga ones, so it wasn't just the Murdeka ones, it was also the Otago ones. And we collected, we came to a point, and also worked with the planners here, and also planners in the agreement that was written, so that's what we're here to support today.
Yeah.
So that was developed between Kaimahi and then back to the local level and kicked off.
I did an exercise with looking at the operative plan and looking at the proposed plan and the issues outlined that Ngāi Tahu had outlined within this district that they are faced with, and started to look across to see if those issues were being covered, and also because of the submissions that come through in terms of looking at integration across the plan, that while we had the support here, that we're still looking for integration there, that Ngāi Tahu rights will not be eroded throughout each of the other chapters. So just doing a double check across. From my findings within that, there was a lot of emphasis placed on objective 5.4.1, the consultation one. That consultation is pretty critical in terms of the water quality, looking at chapter 33, certainly at chapter 26. And I'm just wondering now if I could take you to the introduction and ask you if the consultation statement within one gives you enough certainty in terms of Ngāi Tahu consultation process. That one, that 5.41 will be carried out.
On page 1.7. Page 1.7.
And it's...
And that is 1.6.14. There has been a suggestion that has been put to us, again, looking at a suggestion that the wording be changed within here to be let the consultation will be that applicants can elect to consult in terms of
Could I interrupt for a minute? Ms. Chalmers, could you get a copy of the Section 42A report and point Mr. Skerritt and Ms. Kipson at the actual changes proposed?
Councils need the information when they're addressing a consent or whatever. You can't actually make an applicant consult. It's good practice for them to do that, because if receive an application and they give the rights and interests or values and take into account the duty of the rights of the council there to get that information. They're supposed to have that. They should have it. If the applicant can't go and do it, then the council should get it. But the applicant should be processed with the council probably knowing the position. If it's something that affects our interests.
So practice.
Thank you. Going back to chapter 5, just looking across there in terms of the integration can I now just ask just some points of clarification again, which is in terms of the nohanga sites, that we have agreement in terms of looking at, was there an agreement through Ngarunanga in terms of seeking to be able to have access to those sites?
Well, that's extremely important. If you haven't got access, what's the point of the... So there were thousands of Mohan through the country before the treaty, and really the treaty guaranteed the treaty guaranteed Te Noranga Te Ratanga, and I don't know if that expression is that well understood. There are terms that have been used previously that Maori understood. They had long relationship with the likes of Williams, the missionary, who translated the Bible into Maori and used those terms like Rangi Te Ratanga for the power of God. They were pretty powerful. Williams and Busby, who were in the treaty, translate, and they use that term. They use that term in the Declaration of Independence in 1835 to describe the autonomy of the Maori chiefs or the sovereignty. And they well understood that kauanatanga because in the Bible, Roman Pontius Pilate was explained as kauan, government of Rome. So there was a lot of suspicion. They were very careful, were trying to be careful about signing the treaty, but a bit suspicious of it. But the way it was described in the Court of Honour, you let us govern, we'll make the laws and protect your rights and interests forever. You know, you couldn't be invaded by a neighbouring country, you'd be Tony Fenner in your area for all time. And it was pretty attractive proposition, and that was the arrival of the muskets on Papua, and that they had muskets and devastating other places, so that protection of their rights and interests was important. But what they're describing was that the Crown would make the laws, and that, what the Crown law does for the Crown, they do tell us in running through a time, which would be like the power of God. You're still the real chiefs. It was like that becomes an hour to get the tick off on everything, but that's not the way it works. And it's principle, government's got to be able to govern, local government's got to be able to govern at a local level, that sort of thing. But that's the way it was described. What was the time of that
time?
We're looking at Norman. Yeah, Norman. Yeah. So there was thousands of those, and then with settlers coming, and they didn't know anything about treaty really. conferences up, there were people that were cut off. So that was a huge part of the Naitahu claim. And in recognition of that, there are a lot of, I think, 70 Norwalan out in recognition of those thousands of sites that were lost. And but of course, settlements can't affect private individuals. So they put on ground lands, they just put them here and there. And in the meantime, they can be transferred, hopefully. So they're not really activated yet, and that's a bit of work that's progressing slowly. But it's really important that if there are suitable sites, that there is access provided for them. And that's where, if you get subdivision of the structure on the Wye Creek at the moment, that the access is down through private land, and it's an issue. And if you want to live on your next door, there's subdivision, so those things are quite an issue. I look at it also as use of property as a term, isn't it? That's a legal term. The right of access is to resources short of destruction, no matter in whose ownership. So that's a customary right that exists. And customary rights aren't just here in New Zealand. The Crown brought that body of law with them when they came here, the customary rights arrangement. They brought the concept of Queen's Chain, so people. Yes, everyone have access to the rivers. They didn't actually implement it. There's no actual Queen's Chain. There's paper roads and East Lane reserves and that sort of thing, and not everywhere. In England, some places they have to walk over the law of property because property won't be so often to maintain that. In the customary law, you have that contiguous connection you've got to maintain, unless there's good reason why they can't, like you have fences and that, whatever. But that right of access is there. You know, it's only the right that the landowner should be consulted on your permission.
Given what you have just said in terms of the right of law, looking at Chapter 5 here and the objectives and policies, until the map 40 is produced and goes into page 2, is there enough certainty within what is written here? Can you give assurance to me that there is enough protection within here in terms of triggering to start the process of assessment process for protection of those sites and access?
Well, that's a good question for the planners.
Okay.
I think, yeah, got to be careful making assumptions. In planning and subdivisions and that, council should take the opportunity to provide access, not just for us. That concept that was watered out, is a good concept for everybody. But in particular, it would be good if that's something that's up the top of the list when looking at something and there's a norm in that place, because the Naitahu Settlement Act, once again, is prime legislation. It's sort of must be, they're not provided for not to be able to use. So it's something we should be taking seriously in the account.
No longer legally provided for from the Naitahu Settlement Act, and they are recognised in the district plan. So that is a step forward. Recognising access needs to be to the Nōhanga as well as to the water. So you can't
dismiss one without
you can't. There's no point. If you can't access the resources, there's no point Yep. And that actually then starts taking up right away all those associations of rights and legal rights.
And another important point, when the access is provided, more on that, aren't allowed to prevent other people's access, that access is their brothers as well as at the same time.
Did you at all look at the assessment matters throughout the plan and the, within each of the chapters and looking through the operative,
I think going a bit
beyond
chapter 5 at that point.
Okay, in that case then I think that in terms of just again ask that final question until stage 2. We have certainty within those objectives and policies. Yes?
Yeah. This is a question that we asked, and it's an answer to it. Is it deemed to be an improvement of what is?
What was?
What's. Okay? So
it's a big improvement on what was there before. Of course, a lot of things have happened since.